11 o'clock and this is Centennial College Radio News. I'm Aurora Herrera with Tianpei Ma and Alexandra Lucchesi. Looking at the weather outside our East Dock studios is 13 degrees with a chance of rain, so please carry those umbrella, folks. Now here's what's making our news to this hour. The controversy continues. Prime Minister Stephen Harper's under fire for Afghan detainees. The Tories dismissed the Kyoto Treaty. Happy Child Daycare is shut down. And Toxic Taxi fails to stick to Mayor Miller's plan for a greener Toronto. Prime Minister Stephen Harper is at the centre of one of the biggest scandals to rock the Canadian government. His sticky position is a result of a statement he made contradicting his Minister of Defence, Gordon O'Connor, concerning Afghan detainees. Gordon said that a deal was recently struck between the Canadian and Afghan governments that would allow Canadian forces to have access to the detainees at any time they wanted. Harper responded, saying that this deal is not new and Canadians always had access to the detained Taliban fighters and that Canadians always had so they can monitor the treatment and care of prisoners, but the deal is just in the process of being finalised. The scandal comes on the heels of protests by Afghan's Independent Human Rights Commission for an investigation into the conditions of prisoners. The Tories have dismissed the Kyoto Treaty, this time for good. The Conservatives have announced a new plan that they say will not slow down the Canadian economy. The plan, which is supposed to have billions to save billions in health costs, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and improve air quality, promises to keep both environmentalists and industrialists happy. The strategy has two major components, dealing with the major industrial emitters of greenhouse gases and clearing the air of smog and other pollutants. Highlights of the plan include a 26% reduction target rate for the industry by 2015, Canada's total emissions, including industry and other sources, reduced by 20% by 2020. The plan, which will make a 0.5% decline of the GDP, will raise the price of gas, appliances, and electricity. This just in. A major section.
This is a Centennial College Radio breaking news bulletin. Now, live to the newsroom.
This just in, a major section of the new stadium to house Toronto's professional soccer team has collapsed. Witnesses told CTV News they heard a large noise and then saw the east wall of the stadium crash to the ground in a pile of rubble. The new BMO Stadium along the lakeshore was built for Toronto FC. The soccer club has its home opening game narrow afternoon in the city. It's not known yet if there have been any injuries, but the team is scheduled to practice there today in preparation for tomorrow's game. Stay with Centennial College News for more on this developing story. Happy Child Daycare was shut down by Toronto Police and Children's Aid following reports of negligence after a one-year-old suffered injuries on the premises. Toronto Police Lieutenant Constable Anne-Marie Tupling said a child has been injured and it has been due to neglect at the daycare. The licensed daycare, which took care of 26 children, was operating illegally. Provincial law states that a daycare with more than 5 children younger than 10 with different parents must hold provincial license to operate illegally. Tupling said there were only 3 supervisors monitoring the children when police visited the daycare on Wednesday. None were trained in early childhood education, CPR, or first aid. The Toronto Police is hoping that any other children with injuries will come forward. Mayor Miller is going to have to change a few policies to achieve a greener Toronto. 500 grade 7 and 8 students in Scarborough collected more than 12,000 batteries in the hope of saving the environment. However, they were sorely disappointed after the City of Toronto refused to pick them up. Young Chen, the science teacher who runs the environmental club at Bliss Common Senior Public School, called the Toxic Taxi, which is Toronto's free pickup service for hazardous waste. They turned down her request, telling her that the service is for residences only. The high school is categorized as an institution. This prompted Chen and her students to question Mayor Miller's green plan. And that's the latest news. Now here's Tan Ping with sports. Let's hear about those Ottawa Senators.
Thanks, Sarah, and hello, everyone. The Ottawa Senators won against the New Jersey Devils last night 5-4. The Senators scored 4 times before New Jersey could strike back. However, in less than 8 minutes, New Jersey scored 3 goals and suddenly came back into the game. After the Senators scored again, the audiences were already leaving the stadium when forward Zach Parise scored the last time for New Jersey. The team played without their captain, Patrick Elias, who had a bad cold. Last night was also a lucky night for Blue Jays, who got a victory of 6-0 playing against the New York Yankees. The record for Blue Jays is now 3-3. If you can still remember how they were beat by the Baltimore Orioles, you will think this result is not that bad. Forward Boyd Devereaux never thought he would have a chance to impress the Leafs before he was recalled by the club last Christmas, but now he will stay with the Leafs for at least another 2 years. he has re-signed his contract with the club yesterday. It's worth more than $1 million US. The 29-year-old native of Seaforth has played 33 games last season, collecting 19 points with 12 penalty minutes. In the NBA, Monta Ellis from the Golden State Warriors was voted as the most improved player yesterday, leaving Sacramento's Kevin Martin the second place. It was the closest voting in NBA's history. Ellis received 47 first-place votes, while Martin got 44. Ellis has 352 points from a panel of sports writers and broadcasters, while Martin has 349. Some big games in sports are interested in using U of T's newly built sports dome. Renting it out for professional sports events and practices could mean added revenue for the university. However, the students would be unable to use their own facility at all. Jason Hahalia has this report.
U of T students have been in an uproar after learning that they can't use their own sports dome. On March 2nd, a university council voted against raising student fees by $10. Normally, students hate paying more money, but this fee would have gone into operating their newly built dome. Because of the no vote on raising fees, students will get pushed aside in favor of everyone else when it comes to the dome's usage, says Masha Sidorova, co-chair of the university's Council of Athletics and Recreation.
It's a hot facility. Everybody wants a piece of it. It was built for the students. Unfortunately, we might have to give it away, and we really, really don't want to.
Because students won't be paying for the dome, where will the money come from needed to run it? Well, it's going to come from those who are willing to pay for the space. Adam Pomper, also a co-chair of the Athletics Council, is fully aware of how the university will benefit from giving space to other athletics organizations.
People knocking on the door, you know, they want to give millions of dollars to rent our facility. CFL, you know, we can rent it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year if we wanted to. And the faculty can make millions of dollars, but that's not what we want to do.
But even though a $10 increase might seem like a little bit to get a big arena, there are some students who oppose the way it's being handled by the university.
Waleed Kogali of UTM.
And it's unfortunate that a minority doesn't like what's happening, what's going on. And you know what? The student experience sucks at U of T just because the university is not willing to put more funding.
The no vote decision has until May 1st to be revised. If the university agrees to go ahead with raising fees, students will be able to butt heads with each other over a game of lacrosse. If not, they'll be butting heads with the administrators to get back what was theirs to begin with. This is Jason Hahalia, Centennial College Radio News.
And that's all from sports. Now we go to our commercial break.
You are eating Chucky chicken soup with a fork. Well, you've got to spear the chicken to get into your mouth. Look at that. Look at the size of that. You got use a spoon for the noodle. You got some noodles on your fork. Yeah, but they slide through. Well, you use a spoon, you use a fork. That's right. Is chunky chicken a soup or a meal? I leave that up to the expert, but it's a soup. It's a meal with a soup can. Let's put it that way. Campbell's Chucky Chicken. It's a soup that eats like a meal.
Welcome back. Now here's Alex.
Welcome back, and hello, everyone. With the flooding of screaming female voices crowding into the Air Canada Centre, I expected nothing more than a pop star to jump onto the stage and perform 12 well-known tracks I have memorized and embedded into my memory. But the moment that blues singer and guitarist John Mayer took the stage with six band members, one of those on a soulful saxophone and another on the trumpet, my arms sprung up with just as much excitement as the four preteens sitting next to me with t-shirts reading, "I love you, John," across their chests. Being a slightly tepid fan of John Mayer, I had seats in the 100 level ACC seating section, sitting directly adjacent to the star. I knew songs like Neon and Dreaming with a Broken Heart, but I never imagined such a well-known, seemingly underrated star to perform with such incredible talent, switching between six guitars throughout his performance and singing with a raspy, soulful voice that left everyone in disbelief. Though he spoke little to the audience, his music and his words were enough to take home. For the ear-piercing female fans out there, it's a shame Jessica Simpson gets to do so instead. Toronto is the hometown of many famous musicians, but it's the current home to numerous lesser-known local bands. Shayla Duvall talks with a young drummer about his band's progress.
That's the newest original song by a Scarborough band called Seven Joint Ride. The band is made up of four high school seniors. They headlined on Sunday night at Riley's, a bar on Yonge Street near the Eaton Center. Some of the songs they played were covers of other bands, including Limp Bizkit and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but the band also performed a lot of their own material. Over 30 people came out to show their support, and a few of it moshed through some of the songs. The band recently played shows at a number of other venues, including the Reverb and the Cathedral. Julian Bigra, the band's drummer, is generally pleased about their latest show.
We didn't get the tickets to sell very early, so the actual fan base was a little smaller than we would have liked it to be. But in terms of the actual playing, it seemed to go pretty well. It was our first headlining show, so we got a longer set. Though we did have to scramble for material because we didn't get enough practice in between our second show and this show. But all things considering, I'd like to think it went pretty well.
The band is now on hiatus until May or June so that they can focus on school and submit marks for university deadlines. Shayla Duvall, Centennial College Radio News.
That's all from me. Now let's send it back to Aurora for the wrap.
Thanks to Alexandra Lucchese for entertainment and Tian Pei Ma for a sports report. I'm Aurora Herrera. On behalf of all of us here at Centennial College Radio News, thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Stay tuned for our next newscast at 12 and check out centennialondemand.com/radio/CCRN.